Good morning. Is this good? Good. Good morning. Welcome to church this July 7th. Jake's on vacation this week, and so you have me and Tim McCowant leading worship here today. Some of the things that are printed in your bulletin. Pastor Tim is going to be speaking on the Syria-Lebanon Mission Project right after service today. So if you have nothing planned, please be present to hear that mission project. Also, the PCC Youth and Family Retreat, August 2nd and 4th in Palm Springs. And coming up July 13th is the Women's Gathering. And so you want to be sure that you women, if you haven't signed up, there are bulletins in the back there, and you can pick up a bulletin, and if you haven't, you can talk to Doris, who will be leading it, and come celebrate. It says, come celebrate community as we connect with God and each other through the study of Thessalonians, delicious food and fun activities, and it goes from 10 to 2 p.m., and let's see, and another thing, too. What's very special is the Operation Christmas Child. We always think of Operation Christmas Child at the end of the year for Christmas, but it's always a good thing, especially now at Target and other places. You can get school supplies very cheap. And so look in your bulletin and go to Target and then donate those items to the church. And so with that being said, I think that is it. Let us now come to worship. Hear this in God's word. In God, we find salvation and life. Through God, we are set free. Let us worship God together. So before we do, let's stand and let's greet one another. Let's come back to worship and let's stand for our first hymn.
okay. I was making up my own song over here, and it was glorious. Who's excited to have these two awesome gentlemen with us this morning? It brings back memories for those of us that have been here a long time, and some of you have been here a lot longer than me. It feels like I just stepped back in time. Does it feel a bit like that? You look over the corner and there they are, the duo. Yeah. Well, we're super happy to have you with us. Let's continue in worship.
Jesus, Jesus, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever
reign. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so hard to fathom such boundless grace. The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me. Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Sing it again.
Hallelujah, there's the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Then came the morn that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declare the grave has no claim on me. Sing that again. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declare the grave has no claim.
The one who set me free, hallelujah.
to the band. Appreciate their work, don't you? And thank you for the welcome. You know, looking back in my 23 years here, I remember all about you guys. I remember hiring you, this young buck from the Crystal Cathedral, and you came down and you're still here. Man, that's amazing. We appreciate you, brother. We do. And Tim and Nino, you know, you guys coming and the way you guys blessed this church. And Dusty, I remember you and when you first came and Debbie and your wedding in here, Hawaiian setting. I remember that.
I remember it too.
Yeah, you remember it too. Yeah, I'm glad you do, Dusty. I'm glad. And yeah, Jeff goes back farther than I do. I'm sorry. I was here for your wedding as well. So there's a lot of history in this room, and it's just good to be here again and to be with y'all and to share a few words about what I've been up to in the meantime. Well, I'll tell you what. I was here for a good number of years, probably about 15 years or so, and this family came to the church from Homs, a city in Syria. And at that time, they were involved in a deep crisis, as many of you will remember, in the country of Syria. And when I met them, they began to tell me about their journey, and I became in touch with their pastor, the pastor of the Presbyterian Church in Homs. And so we got together and we began to exchange emails and we made a covenant with each other to pray for each other. And so we prayed for each other and, you know, I was asking him to pray for the conflict in the women's group because they were arguing over what color to paint the kitchen. And he was asking me to pray for them because there were mortars being dropped outside the women's Bible study in Homs. You know, so there were different levels of concern, but we became quite close, actually. And then this was Mofid, the pastor that I was in touch with. And as we then played it out together, our fan and I began to work with a new organization called the Syria-Lebanon Partnership Network. We went to Louisville, and we became a part of this network, which put together people in churches in Syria and Lebanon and people in churches here in the United States. And then we traveled to Lebanon and Syria for the first time in 2015. It was the first of four trips. The last one I made was in 2018, just after I left here. And this is what we found when we first went to Syria. We found a country torn apart by war and terror attacks. You'll remember the attacks from the group ISIS. ISIS was one of almost 40 radical groups that were attacking around the country, trying to overthrow the government and overthrow the churches and all the existing order in the country and take over the country. The churches were caught between a rock and a hard place because they were facing this radical threat that was coming in and they were trying to be between that and a corrupt government, but they just did their thing. They were the church in a time of deep crisis and violence. And so we worked through the National Evangelical Synod of Syria and Lebanon, a group of 35 churches assisting in relief efforts with displaced people within Syria and immigrants that had crossed the border into Lebanon, helping provide food, medical supplies, and heating oil, and to support the synod schools. Now, these were the refugee camps as we found them when we went there. And just as far as you could see, these tents. And there's families, multiple generations of families living in these tents. And I'll tell you more stories if you make it to the lunch this afternoon, and I'll tell you more stories about that. But then, as the network, we dealt with the crisis in the most militant form that lasted only nearly eight years. A crisis that saw entanglement from outside powers as the larger countries came in to get involved and to work their political things through the Syrian government and the powers that be. And it left Syria absolutely devastated. Our role as the Syria-Lebanon Network has been to assist churches since, with all of that, during the pandemic, major earthquakes, and the effects of economic sanctions that have been set in place by the Western nations, including the United States. It's been a rough go. It's been very complicated. But in Lebanon, the collapse of the government has put the country in a state of financial and political chaos. Currently, we are with Lebanon churches impacted by the war in Gaza, because as Israel has tried to defend herself, they've attacked Lebanon to the north, and it's affected the southern rim of Lebanon. And so churches along the borderline have had to evacuate to the north. So we're working with those churches as they deal with those attacks. In Syria, it's much the same. Syria is a devastated country that needs our support and our help, and you'll hear more about the situation there in our lunchtime presentation. But I'd like us to remember to pray. Arfan and Enam are currently in Syria with their family, and they'll probably be there until August. And so in that very volatile part of the country, we want to hold them up in our prayers. And we thank you, this church, for supporting this ministry, for being hospitable to the Syrian community as they nested here for a number of years and as they return here occasionally. This has been a rock for that whole effort, and we thank you for your mission efforts.
Well, thank you, Tim, so much. This church has had a very personal connection, and I know Tim has been so instrumental with the whole denomination in this partnership. So we look forward to hearing more during lunch, some more updates on how we might continue to pray and support this important ministry. Well, as we now move to our time of confessional prayer, I wanted to, on this week of independence, I wanted to share a prayer from the journal of President George Washington, and it's a prayer of confession. So please pray with me. O most glorious God, in Jesus Christ, my merciful and loving Father, I acknowledge and confess my guilt in the weak and imperfect performance of the duties of this day. I have called on thee for pardon and forgiveness of sin, but so coldly and carelessly that my prayers have become my sin and stand in need of pardon. I have heard thy holy word, but with such deadness of spirit that I have been an unprofitable and forgetful hearer. So that, Lord, though I have done thy work, yet it has been negligent that I may expect a curse than a blessing from you. I have sinned by omitting what I ought to have done and committing what I ought not. I have often neglected the better things. My iniquities are multiplied, and my sins are great. I confess them, O Lord, with shame, sorrow, and loathing, and I humbly beseech you to be merciful to me in the free pardon of my sins for the sake of your dear Son and my Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to call not the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Make me know what is acceptable in thy sight, and open the eyes of my understanding, and help me to thoroughly examine myself, increase my faith, and direct me to the true object, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. In his name we pray, amen. People of God, with unfailing love, Scripture tells us God offers us forgiveness that erases our sins completely and allows us to begin again. So brothers and sisters, be at peace. Your sins are forgiven. Praise be to God. Please stand for our grateful response on the screen.
So I know, what's that? Oh, special music. Yes. I'll let him go with the special music. Go with the special music. Micah and Cornell, it's always good to hear you on the piano. Thank you. My sermon today comes from Psalm 71, 8 and 9. And I don't know if we have it printed on the bulletin. It says, "My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone." Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would be with me as I deliver this message to all of us. May something in this sermon touch our hearts. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Jason is going through the book Mudhouse Sabbath. And as I looked through the chapters in this book, I found the title on aging to be apropos, since I'm retired, getting a little older, and most of us are about the same as me, getting older. We're all getting older. And so I thought, yeah, this might be a good one to preach on. So in the middle of the book, on page 119, it says, the aged are not to be dismissed or ignored, but honored. Did you hear that, Quinn? Nathaniel? Indeed, so central is that notion of honoring our elders that it finds its way to the middle of the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother. Well, the young man was walking through the supermarket to pick up a few things when he noticed an old lady following him around. Thinking nothing of it, he ignored her and continued on. Finally, he went to the checkout line, but she got in front of him. Pardon me, she says. I'm sorry if I'm staring at you has made you feel uncomfortable. Well, it's just that you look just like my son who just died recently. I'm very sorry, replied the young man. Is there anything I can do for you? Yes, she said. As I'm leaving, can you say goodbye, mother? It would make me feel so much better. Sure, answered the young man. As the old woman was leaving, he called out, goodbye, mother. And as he stepped up to the checkout counter, he saw his total was $127.50. How can that be, he asked. I only purchased a few things. Your mother said you would pay for her. Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. Aging. Let's talk about aging. It may not be your favorite subject, but guess what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen to all of us. But getting older is not a bad thing. We all know aging is a natural part of life. But are you ever really ready to grow old? Psalm 71, although construed as a prayer, this psalm is primarily a declaration of an individual's trust and hope in God that can be voiced in various life stages. Birth, at verse 6, youth, verse 5 through and 17, and old age, 9 and 18. The psalmist, you see, wrote this psalm in his old age. And it has also been said of this passage that it is a psalm for those who have aged. It's very easy to see when we look at verse 9, which says, do not cast me off in the time of old age. And verse 18, even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation. The psalmist was in his latter years of his life when he spoke the words in this passage. And we read here that his strength was failing him. However, even though it was failing him, he pleaded with God. And he said, God, don't abandon me when I get old. Don't abandon me. He was asking God to continue showing his glory through him, as he had previously done in the younger years of his life. And even though the psalmist was old and weak at this point, he still desired to be used by God. We find that this psalmist never ceased from telling people about God's righteousness and his salvation. In verse 17, the psalmist said he had been taught about God from the time of his youth. So he knew the Lord all that time. Then we get to verse 18. We see that he asked God not to cease from using him until he had spoken of the Lord's goodness to his entire generation and to the next. He was telling the Lord that he would serve God until the very end of his days. He would never give up trying to reach people around him with the message of God's salvation and goodness. This person was growing older, but he did not want to stand in the way of being able to share his faith to his generation and to the next generation. And God doesn't want to stand in the way for you either. Do you know something? Getting older doesn't mean becoming obsolete. Granted, we may not have the energy that we once had, I can attest to that, but did you know you're a great asset to the next generation? Well, there's an art to aging. There's an art to aging gracefully, and plenty of things you can do to embrace and improve your golden years. Let's touch on some of the physical aspects. Of course, how your body looks and feels will change with age, and we know that. Staying active, eating right, can all help you look and feel great in old age. But healthy aging goes beyond the physical realm. Having the right mentality, and that's important, having the right mentality also plays an essential role in how you move through the future. Getting older can be scary. You may fear losing independence or the potential of battling illness. I've had to. 3 years ago, I had a stroke, and I forget words, but my wife always helps me out. And about 4 years ago, I came down with a disease called myasthenia gravis. Myasthenia gravis is a rare condition that causes muscles under your voluntary control to feel weak and get tired. Thankfully, I'm taking, I went in last week and received a six-hour IV, and I go in 2 weeks and receive another drug, 6 hours. And hopefully, I'm hoping that this will not cure, because myasthenia gravis is always with me, but I hope I feel much better than I did years ago. Whatever you find yourself in now, just remember, it's not to be feared. Your life won't stay the same when you get older. When you get older, there's a decent chance you will have lost friends. You might not have the independence you do now, and you may not be living in the same place. But you know what? That's okay. It's okay. It'll be easier to manage, and you can accept it and plan accordingly. Accepting, that's important, accepting that your life will change and understanding the different options you'll have help make dealing with change easier. There will be a plan in place. And there are plenty of ways to find meaning and live a fulfilling life, even if you're under the impression that your best years are behind you. They aren't. It's really all about how you envision your time here and now. Age presents challenges, but it also offers opportunities. As we age, we grow in emotional maturity, are less bothered by the ups and downs of life, and I think many of you can attest to that, and have learned what truly matters. Henrietta Mears was a lady. All through her life, lived her faith and shared her faith. She did some remarkable things in her life. She was an instrumental part of growing Hollywood Presbyterian Church with her Bible, Bible studies, and her love for students. I want to show a clipping of Henrietta Mears.
She was born in a small town in North Dakota at the dawn of a new century. Her fame came as unexpectedly as a spot. And in her own words,
"If I had my life to live over again, I'd believe God. The place of power is there because it's God that's there. Because he's there to answer our prayers, because he wants to do great and mighty things that we know not of."
Mears, How One Woman Changed American Christianity. A feature-length documentary coming in 2024.
That will be something special. And if you have any questions, you can talk with Tim about that. You were instrumental, part of it, in putting this film together, right? Yeah. So if you have any questions on that, do you know when it's coming out? October. Good. Okay. As it said, under her direction, get this, the Sunday school grew from 450 people to more than 6,000 people. That was 1933. And later, 6,500 people, the largest Presbyterian Sunday school of its time in the world. And teacher, as her students called her, built the church education program on a strong foundation of prayer, hard work, high degree of organization, and a commitment to Christ honoring excellence. Henrietta, along with a group of businessmen, established Gospel Light Publications, one of the first publishers in the Christian education field. She had such a heart for young kids. It is said that she had searched for a retreat where she could take her high school and college-age kids. If you place people in an atmosphere where they feel close to God and then challenge them with His Word, they will make decisions, said Mears. And believing God would provide direction, she prayed for wisdom. A privately owned resort in San Bernardino Mountains was available, but the price was way too high. For a moment, the dream appeared impossible. She called a group of people together for prayer, and she insisted that they should dream big whenever God was involved and trust Him for His blessing at the right time. And after a miraculous intervention, Forest Home, valued at $350,000, was purchased in 1938 for an unheard price of $30,000. 3,000 of kids have accepted Christ into their life. Henrietta Mears had a great influence on tens of thousands of people. How? All because she had the desire to share her faith. In this case, her mother was a motivating force behind the early devotion to Christ. As we get older, it's important that we pass on to our kids, our grandkids, our story, our life, our faith. We must live a life that exemplifies our faith. So as you leave here today, don't forget, in your way, share your faith as best you know how. Let's pray. Oh God, our times are in your hands. Look with favor, we pray, on all your servants as our days increase. Grant that we may grow in wisdom and grace and strengthen our trust in your goodness all the days of our lives, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We want to receive our tithes and offerings, but before we do, let's have a word of prayer with our tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, this morning, we give what we can. And so help our tithes and offerings in this church grow to an amount that you know will be beneficial to not only this church, but to the people around our church who are homeless and in need of prayer and something to eat. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I invite the ushers now to come forward to receive our tithes and offerings.
Chosen. It's a heartwarming series of episodes of the life of Jesus in the Gospels. And it's amazing. We're kind of in the middle right now. They're still in production, but they're rolling out these new seasons all the time. And we're understanding the trip they make now, the disciples make with Jesus to Jerusalem, where he will be nice and crucified. And it's so dramatic, it's so well done, but it's taking us into that last meeting where they were together, disciples with their leader, and they were meeting in the apartment of John Mark's mother in Jerusalem. And they had their last meeting together. Around the table was celebrated what we've come to celebrate as the last supper. So we gather as the people of God, as Jesus instructed us, and remember him. So that's what we're doing this day. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, I thank you for this time. I thank you that you call us together to be your people and to point ourselves to the center of our faith, the cross. So we come as your friends. You've invited us to be here together. And I pray, Lord, that you would infuse these elements, these very common elements, bread and juice, that you would allow them to become your body and your blood, broken and shed, that we might receive forgiveness. So now, Lord, we come to full confession of who we really are. We gather around this table because you accept us. Thank you. You listen. We pray in your name. All God's people together said,
Amen.
Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it. And he said, This is my body, broken for you. Take it. Same way after supper. And he said, This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood. Drink it, drink all of
Father God, we thank you for the bread and the cup. God, we have come here today to be with you. And in coming here today, we get to share the bread and the cup with. And so we're grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to give the benediction, and then after the benediction, we'll sing the Lord's Prayer, and then at a certain time, we'll stand. So please be seated. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you this day and forevermore. Amen.